like French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking, to Italian studies to management. From culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, listening public. It's Wednesday at 5 p.m. And if it's Wednesday and it's 5 p.m. and you are lucky enough to be tuned into the Heritage Radio Network, then you are listening to me, Phil Colicchio, bringing you the business of the business. That's the show on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. Sometimes we talk about restaurants. Sometimes we talk about chefs. Sometimes we talk about computer programs that are used to enhance the hospitality industry. We talk about hotels. We talk about planes, trains, and automobiles. We talk about yachts. Anything and everything that has to do with the business side of the hospitality industry. If you miss our broadcast live, and every once in a while you're permitted to do that, you can go to our archive at heritageradionetwork.org. Click on to the business section, and you can hear any one of our 50 or 60 or 70 previously recorded shows. We are also a podcast on iTunes. How exciting that news is. And today, we are going global. If you are a regular listener of the show, you know that there are no boundaries in our view of the hospitality industry. I've been fortunate enough over my career as an attorney, as a consultant, to have traveled to a lot of wonderful places where I've experienced a lot of alternative styles of hospitality. The place, though, that I continually go back to and refer to as a place outside of the United States that really seemed to get it, really seemed to understand it, was Grand Cayman. Grand Cayman, also known to the, I guess, the unindoctrinated as the Cayman Islands. Came on my radar screen, of course, as when I was a younger person. We certainly knew about it. We knew where it was. We knew generally that was in the Caribbean. But many people got the, I will tell you firsthand, got the wrong impression of Grand Cayman through Tom Cruise. And through some authors that suggested that Grand Cayman was nothing more than an offshore place to stash your money. Could not be more wrong. Grand Cayman is an international cosmopolitan island in the Caribbean that understands business, that understands commercial development, that understands intelligent planning, and that understands the importance of hospitality venues within its growth. I am fortunate enough today to have one of the leaders in a Grand Cayman development and by default hospitality. I have my good friend, Ms. Jackie Doat, the Chief Operating Officer of Dart Realty and Dart Enterprises, who has come to Bushwick all the way from Grand Cayman just to do this show. Jackie, you blew our budget.
Phil, thanks so much for the invitation to come on and speak with you today.
It is a pleasure. It's something I've been looking forward to for a while because I really did want to treat our listeners to truly an alternative look at the hospitality industry, certainly outside of New York, outside of the Northeast, and certainly outside of the U.S. First and foremost, you're not the typical Kamanian, are you?
I'm not.
No. Tell me how you got to Cayman. However, I will let the audience know that it's not as if Jackie sort of just grew up here in the Northeast U.S. and decided to take a flyer. Tell me about your background, Jackie.
Certainly, Phil. I've been a tropical girl all my life. My parents moved from the U.K. in the 60s, and they went to this amazing island called Jamaica, which was where I was born.
Ah.
Yes. I was born in Kingston, Jamaica. Fabulous, fabulous island of beautiful people, mountains, waterfalls, an amazing island. And then later on, they moved to the Cayman Islands, where we went and just loved Cayman Islands. Different from Jamaica because it's very, very flat. We say that all of our mountains are underwater.
Tell me, as your family moved from the UK, your parents, did they have a particular particular profession that brought them there?
My father was an accountant, so went to work in Jamaica. Actually in a hotel area. Mm-hmm. So then after moving to Cayman, we went to Florida. Couldn't go too far from the sun, so went to Florida for a few years. And when it came time to go to college, I decided it was time to experience the seasons. So I went up north to Holy Cross College.
Crusaders. All right.
In Worcester, Massachusetts, and that was lovely. I really enjoyed Worcester, Boston, just a fabulous time in my life.
I noticed you didn't stay.
Well, you know,
hard to beat Grand Cayman.
Exactly.
And you are, I guess I can call you a recovering attorney.
Yes. Ah, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've been through my rehab.
Well, I know you went to the University of Florida, to mm-hmm. law school, and that you actually practiced in the civil world in Florida. And then you went back to your roots, right?
I went back to my roots. I took with me a fabulous education and experience in the legal field, which has served me to this day, especially when I had to negotiate with you.
Well, I think we're on the same side.
We are.
Okay. All right. That was good. Well, the idea that brought you back, and certainly some of our listeners listen to the show because they want to hear different experiences that our guests have had personally. Not everybody wants to go to law school, and probably going to law school is not the path to the career that you currently are enjoying. But I could certainly see how it helped you in a number of ways. It also worked to help the company that you currently work for, right?
That's exactly right.
Talk about a little bit about the uniqueness of Dart Enterprises, if you would. I know that... that the Darts are deeply, deeply committed to Grand Cayman, and not just in a charitable sense. What I saw is that the concept of growing that island, that beautiful island, into a real cosmopolitan island is really part of that long-term vision, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the Darts are very committed to the Cayman Islands, and it's actually their base of operations for all of their investments that they do, whether it's in Cayman, the U.S., you know, other Caribbean islands. Cayman mm-hmm. is their chosen base for a number of reasons. We're amazingly close to the U.S.
Right.
So airlift is very easy. It took me 4 hours on Sunday to fly up here. Left Cayman at 4 o'clock, arrived here at, 9 o'clock New York time.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very easy. The infrastructure... both the technology infrastructure and the political infrastructure, very stable, very strong,
right.
And a great financial center in the Cayman Islands as well.
And again, that financial center sometimes gets miscommunicated through through the idea that it's a shelter, and again, truly, it's not. It's a very transparent
system,
as a matter of fact, and of course, we talk about that when we think about investment and we think about investing capital, and as a commercial lawyer, as someone who deals with a lot of groups that invest a lot of capital in different places, the idea that we know the United States, we know the United Kingdom, right? We know certain areas, but we know that other areas are volatile. And Grand Cayman has proven to be an extraordinarily consistent partner to any well-meaning, well-intended, with what I would say is an outstanding moral resume, to be your partner.
Yes.
Right. So it's not just about, hey, let's go down to Grand Cayman and go out and find a wonderful beach bar and have cocktails until the sun comes up. You're part of a company that really has a vision for Grand Cayman, and we met when you were at the relatively early stages of developing the area of Grand Cayman called Kamana Bay. Can you tell us about Kamana Bay? It's I love to talk about it when I'm explaining intelligent mixed-use development to people, because the fact that it happens to be in Grand Cayman is a bonus, but talk about it.
Well, even better than being mixed use is that we infuse the town of Kamana Bay with new urbanism, which in a Caribbean environment is not typically expected.
It's unheard of.
Cayman, before we developed Kamana Bay, was really, you would drive to a restaurant for dinner, you would drive for after dinner drinks, and you'd have to drive back and forth. A very social island. And for two reasons, we were looking at developing the town of Kamana Bay. The first is that if Cayman is going to remain the center of excellence for our company, you need to have a destination that makes people want to stay there, that attracts people. And so the whole vision of creating a town with the amenities that you would expect if you're in London or New York, but you still have the beautiful beach and sunset cocktails, was exactly why Kamana Bay came around. It's a place that makes you just want to linger longer and enjoy the world. The second reason was also to elevate Cayman as a real destination, where, again, you can get the fabulous beach, but you also get all of the amenities that you could get elsewhere.
Tell me about that vision. Where did that vision begin? Who had it, and then who had the courage to really begin to execute on it? Because it's a massive, massive conceptual project.
It is. We started with 240 acres, and we're now up to 500 acres.
Wow.
Actually 600 for Kamana Bay. The vision was truly Mr. Ken Dart's vision, and he is the one who empowered us to execute on his vision. It's very exciting, Phil. Today we have over 600,000 square feet of built space, which includes restaurants, retail, cinema, bookstore, residential, and Class A commercial office space. Kamana Bay has become the center for the financial industries in Cayman.
And that really was the goal, wasn't it? Because and without providing any disrespect, Grand Cayman is known, I think, to a lot of folks in the Northeast as a stop on a cruise vacation. And the port area of Georgetown in Grand Cayman, I think from a cosmopolitan standpoint, left some things to be desired. Why did we not rehabilitate or re-energize Georgetown, as opposed to creating a mile or so up the road, really a new center?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Phil. And really, Georgetown does need to be revitalized, but more to work in collaboration with the cruise tourism industry. We get about 1.4 million through Georgetown on cruise traffic. And Georgetown used to be the center location for the financial district. And it wasn't a master plan town.
Right.
It grew just according to how it came and developed.
Right.
And so parking and roads and pedestrians, it's not a good relationship.
Yeah, when you visit the Georgetown neighborhood of Grand Cayman and you think about all that Grand Cayman has become, you do, I think, quickly realize that, hey, this area is not suited for larger development. It's simply not. It's physically not suited for it. Listeners, I'm here with Jackie Doak, the Chief Operating Officer of Dart Realty Limited and Dart Enterprises on the island of Grand Cayman. Not the Cayman Islands, the island of Grand Cayman. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk about the importance of hospitality to the vision of Mr. Dart, and we're going to quiz everyone to determine, hey, I recognize that name, Dart. Why do I know that name? We'll be back shortly.
The National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hey, the International Culinary Center isn't the only international group around here. The business of the business is international, and we're proving it today with my very good friend and professional colleague Jackie Doak, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Dart Realty and Dart Enterprises in Grand Cayman in the Caribbean. Jackie, I left the listeners off with a little teaser about the name Dart. Most of the folks in the United States who drink coffee, who have a takeout experience, if they are tactile and if they touch the bottom of their cup, they might find a little imprint. What would that be?
It would say Dart,
right. And in the United States, Dart became a well-known name because of...
Styrofoam.
Exactly. Styrofoam, by the way, which is not bad for our environment, but rather Styrofoam and Styrofoam-related products, which can be recycled.
Correct.
And which has been recycled. And frankly, which has allowed all of us listening to drink warm beverages and cold beverages.
There's even a fun element to it. As recently, I think just over 2 years ago, Dart acquired the Solo Cup company as well.
Ah,
so we've added the Red Solo
Cup. The Red Cup.
Yes. That comes in very handy on the beach.
I'll say. Well, you know, the Red Cup might want to just become a political party.
Well.
It's so highly regarded among us that if one were to be in the Red Cup Society, one would be considered a brother or a sister for sure. Jackie, back to a little bit of seriousness here with the on the business of the business. This development we're talking about is a multi million dollar long term development that probably will not be completed in our respective lifetimes. Correct?
That's correct.
So it is truly a visionary process. the vision had to include at least some element of the hospitality industry. Tell us how that played into the plans.
Well, Phil, if you think about the new urbanism concept of Camana Bay, it was a town that was a pedestrian-based town. We have a fabulous crescent that sits on North Sound. So essentially, we span from the beautiful 7 Mile Beach across to the North Sound, so sea to sea at Camana Bay. And on that crescent, we have an amazing interactive water fountain, and it is lined with the perfect locations for amazing restaurants. And we in Cayman know that the culinary aspect is an important pillar of our tourism industry in Cayman. Very, very important. I think we're known as a strong culinary destination, and people flock down in January for Cayman Cookout.
It's one of the really great experiences, and I will give a plug to the Cayman Cookout. The Cayman Cookout has become a real institution. It's part of the food and wine celebrity chef experiences that are provided annually. But usually the Cayman Cookout is headed by Eric Repair. And Eric has been the consulting chef for the Ritz-Carlton in Grand Cayman for many years. I have to tip my hat to Eric because every year he's able to convince, isn't that a silly word, five or six chefs to leave the cold and to come to Grand Cayman and spend a few days putting on presentations and having a wonderful time. For those of you, any of you who listen to the show that enjoy these sort of food festivals, food whatever, you know that if you go to one in New York, or if you go to one in
Aspen,
or if you go to one in Atlantic City, you are one of several thousand people, and it's very hard to have any sort of intimacy with the folks who are putting the festival on. Not so at the Cayman Cookout. It is really the most laid back, the most inclusive, I think, of almost all of these things. I don't know anyone who has not gone and come back and said, wow, I have to go back to that. Where I want to go with that, though, we've given that plug, and that plug is great, and that should get people to Grand Cayman, and you are a wonderful ambassador for the island. But you had a different vision. You had a vision, and your company had a vision, that standalone restaurants were hugely important. Not just restaurants that are in hotels, but standalone restaurants, standalone hospitality venues. Why? I mean, it seems so easy, so lazy, right, to be able to just say, let's stick a restaurant in a hotel and charge people a lot of money because effectively they're not just our guests, they're our prisoners, right? So you didn't have that concept. You had a whole different idea. You didn't build the hotel first.
No, we didn't.
Talk about that. That's a really impressive.
Well, part of Camana Bay is community. Part of it is you have your local. So it was really important for us to introduce a mix of cuisines and chefs that were both from Cayman as well as international chefs. We know very well the draw that a celebrity chef has on awareness, tourism. There's a halo effect that surrounds these celebrity chefs. I mean, we were very fortunate that you introduced us to Michael Schwartz. Michael's genuine.
Also has been a guest on our show. I know he works hard to try to put a great product there.
And a chef, Michael's a great example of someone who really cares about, you know, Michael's genuine, the word genuine. He is so authentic and he really cares about what he does. He didn't want to expand into Cayman just to expand for expansion's sake. He wanted to do it because he knew it was a right decision and a good next step in the Michael's Genuine career.
And well, but that was also important to you and to Dart, that you were not just bringing in people who are going to stick up a flag and not ever be there, right?
That's so correct. And, yeah. you know, part of it is that, as you know, knowing the restaurant world so well, is when you go to a place, you want to be welcomed, you want to be recognized. The food is a big part of it, but your overall experience. And so when we entered into our relationships with, you know, Michael Schwartz or Cindy Hudson.
Absolutely. Another great chef.
Fabulous chef. It's all about that relationship because we're going to be in a relationship with them for 10 plus years. It's not a short term, just, you know, come on down and open up a, you know, shack.
It's, no, picking your partners.
It's a commitment.
Picking your partners is really important. So I think we should give the listeners a little bit of insight in that you had a terrible assignment that you gave me when when you engaged me to assist you in that endeavor. You compelled me to bring about 10 chefs down to Grand Cayman so that you could vet them. Let's talk about that because this is the sort of behind the scenes business stuff that a lot of times people don't get to see or hear. It was a total blast, but it was incredible. Let's talk about, remember who we brought.
It was a journey.
It was incredible.
And importantly to that, Phil, is why did we target the markets that we targeted? We targeted Miami and we targeted New York City.
Exactly.
Because it's a 1 hour or a 4 hour drive flight to
direct,
get to the Cayman Islands.
Right,
direct. So we knew that if you were engaging an operator to come into your restaurant and their chef, that they had to be able to come often and easily to the Cayman Islands. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly why we targeted Miami and New York.
So let's talk for a minute about the foresight, the prescience that you had. I'm going to name a couple of the chefs that 7 years ago you thought would be possible contributors. Let's see. Michael Schwartz. Oh, I guess he won a James Beard Award or two after you had him down there. Seamus Mullen.
Fabulous.
I guess he might have been nominated for best new restaurant in the United States since you had him there. Akhtar Nawab. A lot of people don't know Akhtar as a celebrity chef, but if you are a restaurant owner and you are even in a modicum of trouble, you'll call Akhtar to come straighten your kitchen out because he's the best of the best at running a professional 2- and 3-star kitchen.
You had a guy
named Carmelini sit with you and talk you through a couple of things. And I can recall it vividly in a very pale white t-shirt with pale skin who had just barely come out of his apartment for a couple of days
You've
to see
it.
The sunshine. And Andrew Carmelini's done pretty well since
you
have the magic touch. There's a guy named Calicchio, I think, who spent some time other than me on the island. And you brought great talent there. You engaged them. You picked their... Oh, Paul Greco and Marco Canora. How could we forget? Gee, Hearth was only on the list of the best restaurant in the United States last year for the James Beard Foundation. So where I'm going with this is not only to suggest that your instincts are good, but also to suggest that the level that you were looking to achieve at Kamana Bay in Grand Cayman was a significant one.
Absolutely, Phil. First of all, it's maybe my instincts, but your introductions that led to the short list of chefs that we were looking at. One of the biggest things I'll say, which is fabulous, is that when we met with all these individuals, amazing individuals, we created a relationship even if they didn't come to Cayman.
Bingo.
So yeah. Akhtar has been down to visit us in Cayman. You know, I went to a Dave Matthews concert with Andrew Carmelini. I mean, just great relationships. And that's what it's all about. That's what the culinary world is about, you know?
Well, I think that's what DART is about. I mean, we did not engage in our business relationship to become long-term friends, but that's sort of the way that it's worked out. Unfortunately for you, because you have a house guest once a year that drinks all your wine. But actually in a real positive sense, because when you do get to come and visit New York, we really get to have a great time. You know, we get to talk shop. We get to think about the future. I get a great insight into development in the Caribbean and other venues, and you get to sort of refresh yourself here in New York, keeping current with what is current here. Jackie, I'm going to ask you a huge favor. All right, the idea that you would come back here next week to do another part of this show, would you even consider it?
Phil, you know how much I love New York. Oh. You know how much I love spending time with you and Kathy. Absolutely. Excellent. And if you take me, where are you taking me tonight for dinner?
Well, there's a little place called the Minetta Tavern that achieved something called the Michelin star.
See?
Yes.
And, will I come back? Absolutely.
We're going to go visit, but we're actually going to visit the Minetta Tavern, not for the chef, but for the general manager, Arne Rossman, the greatest restaurant general manager in the history of time. Jackie, I'm going to hold you to that promise. We're going to sign off for today. When you come back next week, I really want to talk about sort of where you see hospitality going, not just in Grand Cayman, but in the Caribbean, and then sort of your wish list now that you've been doing this for 10 years or so, and saying, gosh, if I could start it all over again with this experience, where would I be? Folks, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I get to have people like Jackie Doak, the COO of Dart Realty from Grand Cayman, to come on my show. We're going to wrap up for today. We're going to let my friend Chris Thiele and his buddies, the Prunge Brothers, take you away. Thank you so much for listening. Jackie's going to eat Roberta's pizza today.
I'm so looking forward to it.
All right. So long from Bushwick. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.